Christ and the sacrifice that he made as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And thank you for the kingdom that extends far beyond us in this room, for the body of believers around the world that are gathering today to worship, and for the millions of people in our cities that don't yet know you, that you have a plan and a desire to see people come to know you. And we pray that by celebrating the cup and the bread this morning for ourselves, that we too might proclaim it to others. Thank you for your grace. In Christ's name, amen. We're going to dismiss the children at this time. And I want to thank Joe and Caitlin, I believe, they're over here with Leanna, for taking leadership of our children this morning. Our desire was that all of our members, the parents, the children's workers, the volunteers, would be able to be with us for all three of the conversations that we're having and for the staffing discussion today. So Leanna has arranged to have Joe and Caitlin from the Life Center to be with us. And so just want to appreciate them. Today is the second of three follow-up conversations that are coming out of our AGM, which were, again, capacity, staffing, and facilities. And today, we want to bring our attention to the staffing discussion. And as we begin, again, I want to set the stage out of the scripture. And I want to bring us to an important lesson about the church. And I think it's a lesson that we're prone to forget, especially when we feel like, boy, there's important decisions that we have to make, or we face any sense of uncertainty, statement of scripture that speaks to that that feeling that we may be experiencing. And so I want to come back to the passage that I read in Colossians just a few moments ago, preparing us for the Lord's table. That passage of scripture concluded with these words: "He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." I really like that phrase about holding all things together. When we are tempted to fear, when we face uncertainty, when you hear that I'm tired and that I need a sabbatical, when you hear that Carrie is stepping away at the end of June, is there any seed of fear or uncertainty? Fear is not from the Lord. Christ is sovereign over all things, and he is the one who holds all things together. Sometimes churches, maybe without realizing it, place a pressure on their pastors to do something that only Christ can do: hold all things together. And conversely, sometimes pastors, because of pride, see themselves as the ones who hold all things together. Neither of these is the image of Scripture. And right now, in our season of transitions, of staffing, of facilities, there is a weight that we carry together. But that weight does not mean that it needs to turn into fear. Jesus is the one who holds all things together. And in the very next verse in this passage in Colossians, he comes right and tells us that this includes the church that we're talking about. Verse 18 says, "He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy." So he is the head of the church, and he is the one who holds all things together. I want you to think back 2 weeks ago. I spoke about two different ways that we might have a tendency to read or to interpret Scripture. I suggest that the first one is to read the Scripture as a series of individual Bible stories where the hero, who is God, always ensures that his people win at the end of the story. This is typically how we teach our children the scriptures when they're first learning the story. That Daniel is not eaten by the lions and his three friends are not burned in the fiery furnace. There may be opposition to God's people, but God will deliver. It's a good initial lesson to learn about God, but it's not the mature understanding of Scripture. This lesson implies that God will always work all things to give us the outcomes that are easiest for us. It's a dangerous and misleading way to read Scripture, and it's a dangerous and misleading way to interpret the events of our lives, that God in this moment will give us what is easiest or the things that we think we want. The other way to read Scripture is a formation narrative. And in a formation narrative, every lion's den, every trial by fire, everything that happens becomes a setting for our spiritual formation. God works in all things, not always to deliver us, but always to form us into the image of Christ. And so we hold the deliverance of God and the purposeful formation of God, we hold these in tension as we mature as followers of Christ. And this is the current tension of Mountain Park. I'm convinced by many witnesses of God's provision for our church, by numerous affirmations of the Holy Spirit that I've experienced about the direction that we're going, I believe that Christ is holding everything together for his purposes, but he's also doing it in a way where we are being formed and stretched. One of the comments that we received from the table talk exercise we did 2 weeks ago, one of the responses was this: "We do not like change!" Exclamation mark. And yeah, I had to chuckle at that. Of course we don't like change. Change is hard. It's so much easier to settle in our comfort zone. But I've learned that discomfort can be an indication that Christ is forming us. He's the head. He's working all things for our glory in Christ, and he will hold it together. We don't like change. I concede that point. But that does not mean we can't embrace change. Doesn't mean we can't welcome the work of God to form his church. Not just for our sake, but for people in our city who do not know Christ. This isn't just about us. If comfort and staying the same is about what's currently formed in us, then mission is about what Christ wants to form in us. When our natural human response is to resist change, may I ask that you simply pause and ask Christ, what is it that he would form in you in this uncomfortable moment? Christ is entrusting to us a season of significant change for our church. It is a season for our good, it is a season for our formation, and it is a season for the sake of people in the city that don't know Christ. So as we journey through all of these discussions together, let's talk and pray and discern how Christ, who is the head of the church, will hold all things together. He will deliver a good result. And at the same time, how he would form us along the way. What is he asking of us in the process? So if we're clear that Christ is the head, and if we can acknowledge together that we don't like change, let me, with those two assumptions, begin our discussion this morning about staffing. Let me begin by painting a picture of the challenge that churches in Canada face today with regard to staffing. This is our current context. At the BCMB meetings 2 weeks ago, Steve Brown, who's the president of Columbia Bible College, he shared some really startling numbers. He quoted an article in Faith Today magazine and indicated that there are 625 pastors moving into retirement in Canada every year. That's almost to a day. That's the boomer generation that sent a large number of people into ministry, and they're all retiring. He also said that there is nowhere near that number of graduates coming out of Bible school and seminary. Every year, the deficit of pastors in Canada is increasing. The deficit is increasing. He also shared that of an informal survey of 100 high school seniors, so high school graduates from Christian schools, how many of those were considering a career in full-time ministry? The answer was zero. None. If you've ever served on a search committee for a lead pastor, you'll know that this is a real challenge, and it's getting more difficult. It would not be unusual for a search committee for a lead pastor to take 18 months to 2 years. That's fairly normal right now. And churches are learning to anticipate this challenge and to plan ahead, where they begin the search before the vacancy comes. More and more churches are doing what's called succession planning. Rather than waiting until the lead pastor retires, they hire the new lead pastor before the current lead pastor retires. They prepare and train the next lead pastor as part of a long-term staffing strategy. And this has been the conversation that the elders have been having, and this is the conversation that we would like to have with you this morning. In succession planning, churches are not necessarily hiring someone who has all the education and all the experience that's necessary to lead our church into the future. I mean, it's possible that we find someone like that, but as you just heard, that number of pastors is diminishing. We may find someone like that, but it may be that we find someone who can grow into that leadership position. Either way, the idea is to bring that person on staff for a season of overlap so that the succession plan is in place when the time comes. So churches then hire with an expressed intention that this next person will be the new lead pastor. And then you let that person shadow the lead pastor for a year, depending on how mature and ready they are to take the lead role. And this becomes part of the staffing strategy that the elders want to present to you this morning. So in the staffing strategy that we're looking at, the first priority is succession planning for a new lead pastor. The most obvious benefit to this is, of course, that there is no lead pastor vacancy when the lead pastor retires. There's no putting the vision on hold for a year and more until you hire someone new. There's no interim pastor. There is no transitional pastor. By anticipating the leadership transition that you know is coming, you're able to mentor a new lead pastor who will already understand the culture and the vision of the church when the time for the transition comes. That's one benefit. Another equally important benefit is that in succession planning, it expands the capacity of the senior pastor level leadership. There have been many times when I wished I had an associate pastor to brainstorm ideas to develop some of the ministry tools that we want and need to set the foundation that we've been talking about in place. But I simply don't have the capacity to do that work on my own. And so succession planning will, if even for a short season, will give us greater capacity in the senior pastor level during a season of transition. And I might suggest that with what we're going into with facility transition, that expanding our capacity at the senior level of leadership is also important. So that's the first priority. The second priority in this staffing strategy then would be to staff the other ministry positions. And this is second for a number of very pragmatic reasons. Number one, it's typical, and I think we would want this, for the new lead pastor to hire the new staff to be able to build their own team. And this is entirely natural. Whenever we have hired staff in the past 7 years, the elders have wanted me to be very much part of the process. Well, of course, that makes sense. But with succession planning, I'm not going to be the long-term pastor, and so it may not be wise for me to be the one hiring the next staff. And so this throws a curve into the planning process. It makes it very difficult for us to put a linear plan together. A second reason that this is a second priority is that when you do hire new staff, typically one of the questions they're going to ask of the lead pastor is, how long are you sticking around? If you're asking me for a long-term commitment, what about your long-term commitment? And so again, they want to know who the lead pastor will be before they accept a position. Again, very pragmatic, another curve that we have to work into our plan. Right now, as you know, we have virtually a clean slate when it comes to our open ministry positions. Now, I'm talking ministry positions. Carrie's position, we want to fill that as soon as possible, but with ministry positions, we have a clean slate. And this is why we started 2 months ago at the AGM, and then 2 weeks ago at our first discussion, talking about building our capacity with volunteer teams. Building capacity gives us time to put a long-term staffing strategy in place. So the first priority in succession planning for the lead pastor, and the second priority is ministry staff, but that holds a lot of curves that we can't anticipate. And so we acknowledge that there are many possible exceptions to this plan. If we came across a suitable staff member before the new lead pastor is in place, if we sense that the Lord was providing something, someone, we could certainly hire that person. Christ is the head of the church. It's his job to hold it all together, and he may do it in a way that surprises us. That's fine. That's great. But as far as us taking initiative goes, we feel it would be best to start with a transition plan for the lead pastor. Bruce, who's one of our elders, shared a Chuck Swindoll quote with our leadership team as we were talking about all these myriad possible exceptions and how do we plan for all this. And the Chuck Swindoll quote was this: stepping out in faith always results in a further clarification of God's plan. Stepping out is where you get the further clarification of what God has. So our staffing plan in no way precludes the Lord stepping in and giving further direction. We invite that, but this is the direction that we want to begin with. This then raises the question of when do we get started with this strategy? And our recommendation is, let's get started. Again, even in succession planning, it can take a year, 18 months, 2 years to find the right candidate. And so we want to be proactive in addressing the transition that we know is coming. And so we're recommending today that we begin to do today what we can do today. And that in the words of Jesus, don't worry about tomorrow. Today has enough worries of its own. There will be many unseen things that will unfold that we cannot anticipate. But Christ is the one who holds all things together. And so with that as some background, I'm going to ask Travis, who's the moderator of our church, to come and bring the recommendation that the elders want to share with you this morning.
I got two iPads here because I got to control the soundboard as I'm doing this here, so... Ah, thank you, Norm, for leading us and bringing focus to what we believe God is directing us toward. And thank you all for allowing us as elders to walk with this through this with you. These table talks have been very informative for us as we process and discern what God has for us as a congregation. And as Norm has said many times this morning, He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. This is His church, and as an elder team, we are inviting you to step out in faith with us as we surrender to His will. We don't have all the answers, that's why we're here with you, but we trust that God will lead and direct our steps. So let me begin by reading the recommendation that the elders are putting forward, and then I will make a few comments. And then we'll take some time for questions before we break into our table groups for prayer and feedback. So as you can see the recommendation up there, the elders are recommending that we initiate a succession plan for the lead pastor position and that we begin by establishing a search committee. As an elder board, we have been closely working with Norm throughout this process to glean from his experience and to respect him in the process of succession. As we are all a part of this Mountain Park family, I have some other items of note to update you on. First, our strategy to delay hiring staff positions does not include our office administrator, as Norm said. Our hope is to hire by the end of May and then have Carrie train that new candidate throughout the month of June. The updated job description is posted on our website, as we mentioned earlier, and we want to encourage you to consider applying for this position. Secondly, I hope you can now see how Norm's sabbatical fits into this long-term plan. We want Norm to mentor a new pastor, and we want him to feel renewed and energized to do so. Thinking of this as a final pit stop to fuel up, to change tires, to finish the race well. That's for all you F1 fans out there. Brian's not here, so I can't give him a shout out. But anyways, third, Norm has informed us that he has already met with his spiritual director, and together they have put a plan in place for his sabbatical. It will begin with 5 days of solitude or more. There's a bit of room there for him on Vancouver Island from June 3rd to 8th. Norm said that he would be around during his sabbatical, but it won't be until after the men's fishing retreat. Priorities. Finally, the elders have been working on a schedule to facilitate our Sunday services throughout the summer months. We're already making great progress, and the Lord has provided people to lead and teach each week. Daryl has been connecting with some of you as well, as well as others outside of the congregation to facilitate Sunday mornings this summer. For those of you that got the email, please connect with Daryl soon so that he knows if you're able to help with in this capacity. Well, this might feel like a lot to process, so let's come back to the recommendation from the elders. We want to answer any questions before we turn to the tables for discussion and prayer. So if you have any questions for the elders or Norm, before we get to this table talk, please raise your hand and I'll come around with the mic so that everyone can hear your question.
So at one time, I heard the idea thrown around that perhaps we would look for another smaller congregation to join together with. So are we to assume that that's been looked at and kind of this is the priority suggestion at the moment?
Yes.
You leave me on, I'll turn myself off here. She asked if, you probably heard that about. So that's the facility conversation. We're going to have that 2 weeks from now. We've ruled nothing out. But we have no control over any of those things. And so there are no current conversations about merging or anything. But we've taken nothing off the table, is the best I can say right now.
I understand what you're recommending to search for a lead pastor to come alongside. To me, this is like the nursing world, where we have a shortage of nurses. More nurses are retiring than are coming out of education. So are we being realistic and saying we want a new pastor when in fact there are fewer and fewer pastors around? So that's just my question. Like in nursing, we want more nurses, but there aren't. And we may want a new pastor, but there aren't. So again, the question of amalgamation, is that like nurses take on a bigger workload? Do churches have to join? Is that a reality for the churches going forward? I don't know. It's just a question.
Yeah, and it's a good question again. Right now, we don't have a conversation with another church about merging, amalgamating. There's nothing on the table. And if you do have those conversations, they're very complicated about vision, leadership teams. There's a lot of complications there. But again, nothing's off the table. Right now, all we're saying is we need to plan for the future. We need to anticipate that this is going to take a while. And so this is the best course of action that we have right now. So those numbers about retiring, that's been happening for a number of years already. So we're already living in that reality. It's just a way of saying it's not going to get better. We've always found pastors. It's not that there are no pastors. It's just getting harder.
So we're talking about a succession plan. So that leads me to ask, like, do you have a plan for yourself? How much longer you're going to be here? Like, how long are we going to have this succession pastor before you leave? And if it takes like up to 18 months or so to find a succession pastor, are we going to wait till we get that before we fill positions for youth and children?
Yeah,
really
good question. What happens
to them in between?
Yeah, so what happens to them in between? Let me start with that. That's why we started with capacity. Okay, so do we have the capacity to do all these things in the meantime? And we feel like we do. And we can talk about that. But like in youth ministry, for example, we only have 2 to 4 youth showing up. We don't need staff for that ministry position. With children's ministry, Leanna's given us lots of lead time. We're in no rush to fill that position, and things are going fantastic in our children's ministry. So I'm not at all concerned about the next year of that. With worship, the thing that a worship pastor gives us is more capacity. In other words, there's more leadership. It doesn't give us better worship. It doesn't give us a better worship experience. Like, we have really gifted worship teams. So we're lacking in nothing other than capacity. So if we could, for example, get one more worship leader.
And another sound guy.
So, but these are the things where the plan is, can we fill capacity so that we can rebuild staff? That's the plan. With regard to me, someone asked me this week, you know, how old I am. I'm 62, right? And I said, no, I'll be 65 in the summer. During my sabbatical, I'll turn 65. So I do have a plan to retire. Could I do a couple more years? Yeah. Could I do a couple more years without a sabbatical? No. I know I couldn't. So we're bumping up against my limit. It's just a reality. And so my desire would be that we would be able to do a really good transition. If we found someone in September and did a year of transition, I would probably retire a little bit early than I had planned, because the transition is important and we want them to get on with hiring staff. If it takes 2 years to find someone, then I may have to stretch a little longer. So in my mind, I'm going a couple of years, and that's what I said when we came, 8 to 10 years. So right now we're at 7, so in the next 2 to 3 years, for sure, I'll be done, yeah.
This is a fairly strange transition that we're going through, when a church is coming to the end of the rope and then trying to move forward at the same time. That's the opposite of all of the other church plants and church growth and everything else that you've been involved in. So have you given thought to what kind of a job description would you have in mind for a replacement or for Norm to augment Norm's ministry to take us into the future? Is there going to be any energy in that pastor to be the leader, to take us to the new, wherever we're going to be in terms of place? Even with merging, if we have a new guy and you merge, then that the staff melding is difficult, right? So if we've hired a new guy who's really great and the other church doesn't want him, immediately we're into a problem. So I just think what I feel missing right now in my life is a champion to move us forward, that I have somebody to hang on to with where we're going.
I think that person you hang on to is Jesus, frankly. I don't mean to be facetious here, but he's the one that holds all things together. And right now, it's almost like we don't have any options. I mean, what you said is true. If you think about, boy, we hire a new lead pastor and then we have to merge, and how do the staff things happen? You're absolutely right. These are all those complications that the elders are talking about. We can't predict any of those things. What you just said assumed that we would have a new lead pastor that leads us into the new facility. What if we get the new facility before we get the new lead pastor? Like, we simply don't know. And we're just acknowledging that we don't know. That is literally why I started this morning with, Christ is the one who holds all things together. And if we're not comfortable with that, we're really going to struggle through this transition. And so we have to keep coming back to, we don't know, and it's okay. It's okay that we don't know. And so we do what is within our capacity to do. We anticipate and plan for what is in our capacity to anticipate and plan for.
Just one more thought on the merge thing, and it's not my top priority necessarily. I just wanted to clarify. So you said that there's no discussions. Does that mean that we're not pursuing any discussions, or discussions have been pursued And I totally recognize it's a complicated thing. I'm not even putting it forward as a top priority. But is this a recommendation because other things have been pursued and not worked out? Or is this, you guys are feeling really good about just pursuing this?
Okay, so, so today is about staffing, which is different than facilities and merging. They're completely separate. Yes, because if we're merging, we're merging into a new facility.
I was thinking more of leadership.
Okay, leadership merging. So So is there, the question, are there no discussions because we haven't initiated any? Yeah, so the answer is no. I've spoken with a number of churches, for a number of years. I'm saying, hey, you know, we're in this place, and I actually said to one pastor, do you think it would be worth having the moderators of our churches get together and have lunch? And he said, oh, I'll talk to my board about it. Never heard anything back. So it's not that we're not trying. Yeah, it's just that there are no current discussions. There are people who said, oh, you should talk to this church. And I'm going, okay, but we don't actually have a discussion. And we have to be very careful that we're not perceived as,
shopping around.
Well, that we're in any way trying to come in and take over a church. And because there are churches that are struggling that don't have pastors. And so you're going, oh, well, maybe. And so because they're in a weak position, it may look like we're opportunists or something. So we really have to be very careful and let the Lord just, yeah.
One more from Ralph.
I don't have a question, but I have a comment. I am very much in favor of this idea of succession. And the reason why I say that is many years ago, Janet and I attended Willingdon Church. And they went through two transitions when the senior pastor was in the process of leaving. They brought in the future senior pastor, and that was a two-year transition. And they did that twice, and both times it was very successful. So having had that experience and having this recommendation, I am in favor of this transition in view of Norm sharing with us that, you know, he's got 2 years, 3 years at the most, and we need to think about this. Because it is hard to, I mean, we can do the interim pastor thing like we've done in the past, but I think this is a better plan.
Yeah, thank you for that, Ralph. That's good to hear personal experience. Have a confirmation of, yeah, we're doing what we can with what God's given us right now. And so as we go into our table talk this morning, thank you again for taking this time to process this journey that we're on. So to guide our table talk and prayer this morning, I would invite you to consider a few questions. And that is, are you on board with this recommendation from the elders? And what do the elders need to hear? We will be meeting on Tuesday, and so anything you would like us to hear, write it down. So with that, let's take some time to chat around our tables, and we will give you about 10 to 15.
Let me just close us in prayer together. Father, we thank you for just the complexity of who Christ is, that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. In Christ, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, thrones and powers and rulers and authority. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before things, and in him all things hold together. Thank you that this is the Christ who is the head of our church. Thank you for the privilege of serving such a magnificent Christ. And we pray that as your kingdom people, we would discern well the things you have for us. that you would lead us into a future that proclaims Christ in our neighborhoods and in our city, that more and more people would come to know Christ because Mountain Park has discerned well the things you have for us. And so we pray for wisdom and discernment. We pray for encouragement along the way. And thank you for the privilege of being your church in this location. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your participation and prayer today. Again, this is a lot to take in. These are the things that the elders are talking about. In 2 weeks, we'll add to the complexity by talking about facilities. And when you start putting all these together, you'll recognize why Christ being the ruler of all things is so central to our understanding of the church right now.